This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you, everybody, for being with us today here on WNRN and the Sunday morning wake-up call. That's right, it's Sunday. It's a Sunday after the fun drive. So a big thank you shout-out to everybody who volunteered here at the station, and especially to those who called in or went online to make your pledge. It's so nice. It's really important, and I want to make sure I give everybody their attaboy with a little pat on the back. This is 91.9 and Harrisonburg's 95.1. The show today that I think everybody needs to hear, everybody needs to listen, although my first question is going to be about why. Our guest today is Terry Kent. She's the founder and executive director of Better World Betty. You can go online and see that blog at betterworldbetty.org. because it is the nonprofit. We're going to be talking about green living with Terry Kent, also known as Betty. So my first question to Betty is, I think everybody understands the concept of being living green and being ecologically friendly, but not everybody does it. So how do you or do you preach? Because that's what many people, I'm sure, are listening, going, I don't know, I don't want to hear that. But how do you, you know, do you preach the importance of this?
Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, it's a great question. You know, how do we inspire people to act in the name of the environment? And it's certainly, I think that Mother Nature's doing a great job of helping people wake up. You know, these climate crisis, you know, the climate crisis going on, the each year it seems like the weather gets more intense. You know, we, our family, we actually visited the DC Zoo the other weekend, and they were telling us that, you know, we visited the orangutans. If ever anybody's been to the DC Zoo, it's so much fun. But they said to us that there isn't a forest for these orangutans to go back to. You know, and so we hear these alarming statistics, and then we think, well, what can we do? You're absolutely right. It's one of the reasons why we created Better World Betty, is that we know people are busy and it's overwhelming. So we want to translate that big problem of climate change to the local level and make it fun while we're at it. You know, that's one of the ways we inspire people to act is, you know, let's make it doable. Let's make it easy. Let's make it friendly to people, because, you know, we hear a lot about the bad news, but we want to know the good news and that we can each do something.
And if you go to the website, again, we are talking about Living Green with Terry Kent, also known as Betty, from the Better World Betty blog / website. And if you go there, we'll get into it a little bit later in the hour, but there's this really cool menu that's set up showing you how to do some really easy things. It's sort of set up like the appetizers, things to do first, and then some things as you go through that are a little more difficult and require more of the family, where the whole
investment.
Family needs, that's right,
yeah.
The family investment. Thank you. But so you say that, you know, you're talking about going to the DC Zoo. Mm-hmm. And how everybody can see what's happening. But that's not true, because there are a significant number of people, whether you say majority or lots or whatever, but a noticeable number of people, at least you hear them stating the claim that global warming is false and it's not happening.
Yeah.
How do you convince those folks that it's either it's not true or it's still important to do what Better World Betty wants you to do?
Sure. Well, you know, a lot of times, especially in our work with businesses, we go back to the economics of it. That it is just, it behooves everyone to reduce waste, whether that's energy, whether that's water, whether that's, you know, getting in our cars less. It just makes dollars and cents to help the environment. So there is that economic component. And we've actually proven that with our businesses, that we can go in there and with our scorecard that we created for them, help them save money, you know, and it does go beyond, you know, a lot of it is common sense, turning the lights off. And energy efficiency is definitely the cleanest and the cheapest a way to save. But there's also new technology and that can help us out. So
this isn't all about the morality of why you should live green. This is also a part of the aspect about how you can help your own personal wallet or pocketbook by doing things that also happen to help you live green.
Right. And it's both. I mean, of course, what I think, I guess people can, I guess there are some people that can look to a blind eye. It's definitely a small minority, I think. More and more folks, you know, just recently with as we saw in New York City, this 400,000, the largest climate march ever, at the same day, 166 countries were gathering. It was the People's Climate March saying, hey, leaders, we have to do something about this. And the thing about the environment is that we all benefit from it. We all, like, especially look at Virginia right now in the fall season, the fall foliage. It's amazing. And who hasn't been affected? Their family goes to the beach, or they've been awe-inspired, you know, by the moon and the starry night. So it's something that we take for granted. It's definitely, you know, we enjoy it. But I think the more connected we get to it, the more we want to protect it as well.
All right, so again, today on the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call here at WNRN, our guest, Terry Kent, also known as Betty from the Better World Betty website. That's betterworldbetty.org. We're talking about green living. We're doing it in a manner that's meant to be fun and easy with some money-saving tips on how to do this for you and your family. So let's jump into one that people who listen here know is always important to me, has to do with your pet. So because you sent me an email that wanted to include actions that you can be a more eco-friendly pet owner. How to green Fido.
That's green Fido. Well, the great thing is I think that for everything we do, whether we work, play, go to school, there's always an alternative that's fun and friendly for the environment. So when we're talking about your pet, this could be anything from when you go and buy the pet toys, you know, avoiding plastic, for instance, buying, you know, more natural products, shopping locally. That's definitely a green thing to do. Also what you feed your pet, you know, before I started researching this, there's so much stuff that we put in pet food and
stuff.
Fillers. And we don't remember the controversy with what they were putting in food, dog food.
If you pay any attention at all, you don't have to watch 60 Minutes to find out that some of the least expensive pet foods are full of least expensive crap.
Yep, definitely. Well, and then you have the packaging, for a long, you know, you buy those big plastic bags and it's like, what do we do with this afterwards? So what I had found, and I went to our local Pet Connection over by Seville Coffee, and they have this small container. It was dried dog food. And it lasts longer. It's a little more expensive to feed your dog decent food, but it's all recycled packaging and it's made with good stuff in it. Very little ingredients. I always tell my kids, you know, like, look at the ingredients list, and if it should be smaller than your pinky, right? and not a page long. But then in terms of we talked earlier, Friday, going out in nature, don't forget your biodegradable bags. At my home, we use the little bags, and then we have black bear composting, so we actually put that in there with all our food scraps, the bucket.
Dog poop and cat poop in your composting stuff?
Yeah. Isn't that, well, it's So Blackbird Composting is residential pickup. So they'll come and do the magic for me. Like, I'm not going to put it.
You're not going to put it on your garden of tomatoes and basil?
No, maybe not. But they actually, he has a commercial composting facility, and it comes back as this magic, beautiful dirt that we put out. I live in a small townhome, so we put out in the front. We don't have a lot of area to work with.
But so, because the WNRN reaches outside of just Charlottesville, Albemarle, we go to Richmond and down to Lynchburg and out to Lexington and up north to Culpeper. Give me some keywords for Googling to find that sort of business in the area where anybody is listening. In fact, we got a pledge from Arizona on this show last week.
Oh, excellent.
So what are some keywords for what you're doing there?
Well, I would search for composting pickup. There's a real, I can't remember his name. There's a super passionate guy out in Richmond, because I recently went to an environmental conference and he spoke there about composting. But I would definitely search under, there's all kinds of DIY composting that you can do in your home. There's worm composting, vermicomposting. But I wanted the easy, you know, I'm a single mom, busy. So I wanted Black Bear to come. So there might be those kinds of services in other cities.
You said Black Bear.
Composting. That's the name of the
business.
Okay,
that's the name of the local Charlottesville Albemarle.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And he, his facility is outside of Harrisonburg, so it might actually go.
He might reach a little more of our Central Virginia listening area.
That's right.
All right. Because I think that's going to be key to us throughout the hour, because Better World Betty is sort of a Central Virginia, but obviously your goal and your hope is that people across the country and you know, globally are doing everything that they can for this.
Yep.
So I want to make sure that as we talk about a specific topic and a local business that may be helpful, if we can give key Google words or Bing words to do this and to research this for everybody.
That sounds great. Yeah, actually, that is our vision, we believe every city needs a Betty. So we've actually had, when we worked with Plow and Hearth, it's up in Madison, and people were coming down from Culpeper. They were like, ooh, I wish Culpeper had a Betty. But people can actually email us any question, environmental question that they have, and we will try to answer it for them within 72 hours. You can always email us.
And you go to the betterworldbetty.org website.
That's right.
And you are Betty.
Well, yes, but everyone's a Betty.
So explain that. How does Terry become Betty, and how am I a Betty?
Okay, well, everyone has their inner Betty, and we definitely, I apologize, because we do want to find this male counterpart, so maybe it's like your Better World Ben you channel. But everyone has that part of them that wants to do better. You know, we carry around so much eco guilt. We know that we can do better, but it's just a matter of, you know, how. Connect me to local resources. Connect me to alternatives that will make sense for me and my family. That's what I mean by everyone's a Betty. Everyone cares. Bill Gates said it's not for too little caring. When we're talking about complex problems, it's not for too little caring. It's too much complexity is what he said. And that's where Betty comes in.
11:13 here on WNRN and the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Betty is here with us. If you get to know her with a handshake, it's Terry Kent. She's the founder and executive director of the website betterworldbetty.org, helping us learn more about green living here in the WNRN listening area. Quick question. Do you find that kids are the way to expand green living? Because I think for many people, you know, that's the image for many major changes, is that it's the kids who want to talk about being vegetarian. It's the kids who want to talk about recycling and things for the family that may not have made that step yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I still hear people, even when they're in college, I go back home and my parents, you know, are now recycling, or they're really upping their game. It's so true. When we ran this campaign where we reached out to folks with the Better World Betty home menu, it was a small grant-funded program where we were trying to reach as many households as possible. And the most success we had was with Tandem Friends School, whose kids' fifth grade class got super excited and took it home to their families. 90 kids pledged actions that they would take in their home. And they just got really excited about it. And they're inspiring. And so I think that that's one of the things that we want to do in the coming months and years is to really build a network within our local schools here of sustainable-minded youth. They got it. They know and they care. And so we want to empower them with a platform to help them take action in their schools, take action in their homes.
If you have questions for Betty to ask about how to live better in a green way, I have some questions too. By the way, are you still doing a monthly article at Seaville Weekly?
We are. We do Ask Betty. So you can ask us any question and we'll post it in there.
So some of these questions have come from former articles that I have just to reach an audience who may not have seen mm-hmm. the Seaville Weekly. But let's do this.
Today's programming on WNRN is supported by
T&N Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, T&N specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. T&N offers FSC-certified printing. T&N Printing can be reached at t-nprinting.com.
B&W Auto Body, Charlottesville's collision repair. After an accident, insurance providers may direct you to shops that compromise resale, warranty, and safety. You have a choice. B&W Auto Body will help you understand your rights, accepts all insurance, and repairs your vehicle to federal safety standards. BWAutobody.com.
Mama's Caboose, the only mobile kitchen in the Shenandoah Valley. From fun to fancy and everything in between, Mama's Caboose comes to you and creates a menu specifically for your event. You can check out Mama's Caboose on some sample menus at mamascaboose.com and on Facebook.
You can donate your unwanted vehicle to help fuel independent music radio WNRN. All you need is the title, and we'll take care of the rest. Your car can be worth more than a dealer will give you, and your tax-deductible donation supports your radio station. To learn how your car, boat, motorcycle, or RV can help WNRN, go to WNRN.org and the vehicle donation link.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And Rick Moore here with our guest, Betty. Also, Terry Kent from the BetterWorldBetty.org website and blog. You're welcome to call in with questions that you may have about how to live green in a better way, or you know, maybe you're just not sure. Maybe it's a myth. Maybe it's a question you're like, you've gotten both answers for. 434-979-0919. That's 434-979-0919 to ask a question for Betty. So here's a couple that I have. Do batteries still need to be recycled now that, I don't know, but it's been 10 years or 20 years ago since the federal government said you have to take mercury out of alkaline batteries, so your regular AAA, size D batteries, et cetera?
Well, California is actually the only state that requires you to recycle those household batteries, AA, AAAs, all those. But I keep all batteries, and I don't put them in a landfill. I just don't want it in our groundwater. So our local company here, Batteries Plus Bulbs, which I know they have locations elsewhere, Waynesboro and Richmond, does take back those batteries. They charge a small fee. But that's, I kind of save mine up. I know the local schools use Green Disc. So you might want to contact your local schools about recycling your batteries. Yeah, I think it's definitely a good idea.
All right. What else did I come up with? Oh, all that junk mail and catalogs. Ugh. You know, I had somebody at work, somebody else at work brings in, you know, sorts through the mail, and I get a whole bunch of the catalogs because mm-hmm. of my job there.
Wow.
And the stack of catalogs on my desk was bigger than the ruler. And I said, can we just get rid of that?
Yep.
You know, I don't need all those. And I'm sure at home, you'll get the same catalog from Land's End every 3 or 4 weeks, even though nothing has changed but the cover.
Right. And we're heading into holiday season, so it's just going to get worse and worse. So the impact of junk mail is huge. Some sources say 100 million trees annually it takes to produce all that junk mail, not to mention the water and the energy and the carbon emissions involved in getting that to us. So what you can do, and the average American receives about 500 pieces a year, so it's definitely still a problem. So there's a few things that you can do. I recommend, there's a great new app. So if you have a smartphone, it's called Paper Karma. Paper, just like you normally spell it, but then Karma is K-A-R-M-A. And they will actually, if you get that app on your phone, you can take a picture of your junk mail and it will send an opt-out letter to that business for you. It's connected through, I think, via Google Mail or Facebook. And if you're not comfortable with that, why don't you go ahead and go to 41pounds.org. This is a cool website where they say, hey, the average American gets 41 pounds of junk mail a year. We will help you reduce that by 85% to 95%. I think it's a small fee. I think it's something like $35 or $40. They might even charge $41. So if you want to kind of outsource it. The other thing you can do is go to catalogchoice.org, and you can actually pick the catalogs that you want. So say you do want a couple. You have favorite businesses. Then you go through and just, it's a very quick process. You click the ones you want, unclick the ones you don't want, and then they'll send out the opt-out letter. 20 years ago, before I was doing Better World Betty, I remember writing these letters and doing it by hand that way. And I still, you know, you can still call the company when you get that piece of junk mail. And they're supposed to take you off that mailing list. And it really, I used to just have a small stack, because when you move, I always have, when I give talks to people, they say, oh, I was doing so great, and then I moved, and now I'm getting all this junk mail again. So you might have to, again, make a couple phone calls once a month to get you off those lists. But it's definitely, feel empowered to do it, because it's making a difference.
Betty from Better World Betty is with us today as we talk about living green here on the Wake Up Call 1121. You mentioned sending the letters out to try and get the junk mail and the catalog reduced. When I was on the website, betterworldbetty.org, there was a letter about styrofoam that I saw. What's that?
So styrofoam, what a scourge. It's not only a suspected carcinogen, it's also a huge problem in terms of litter. It's never going to biodegrade. It's never going to go away. Like I said, styrene is an anticipated carcinogen. And so it's not healthy for us. And so it's not only, it's a health issue and also an environmental issue. So on the website, we've got an anti-styrofoam letter because, you know, a lot of times we go to our favorite restaurant, we have a little leftovers, and we ask for a takeout, and they give it to us in styrofoam. So what we are hoping people will do is go to the website and print this letter out and give it to their favorite business that's still using styrofoam. And it's worked. We had a Betty fan write us back that one of their favorite restaurants, Royal Indian, switched to biodegradables. So it's possible. We actually on the website too put alternatives. So we don't like to just point fingers and say, don't do this. We want to give people alternatives. So check it out.
Again, Terry Kent is with us. She's the founder and the executive director at Better World Betty. Talk about the current state of recycling, and I guess we'll focus on, or we'll start our conversation here in the Charlottesville Albemarle area, and then we'll expand that conversation a little bit. Charlottesville's McIntyre Recycling, when I lived downtown, it was workable because it had a good number of hours and, you know, every day or most days of the week. And then when I moved out of the urban central Charlottesville, it was really difficult to do that because they had reduced their hours. And I don't understand why that happened and what the current state is, the status of the hours and usability now.
Mm-hmm. Well, McIntyre is still a wonderful resource. It is absolutely very popular place to still source separate, which is very important. They get great rates in terms of their recycling, but you're absolutely right. It's not convenient for everyone. So right now, what's going on at the county level is the Board of Supervisors has a committee appointed, and I'm very excited to be serving on this committee. It's the Long Range Solid Waste Planning Committee, a big mouthful, but it's also a big job for us to figure out best practices in terms of recycling and what used to be called solid waste management. And now we're getting smarter, we're evolving, calling it sustainable resource management, meaning that we throw away a lot of valuable stuff that needs to be recycled. So we're looking at, you know, where should recycling centers be? Wouldn't it be great if we had curbside recycling, which many communities all across Virginia have curbside recycling?
Well, Charlottesville used to have something like that, I'll say 2 decades ago.
Mm. Wow, before I arrived 15 years ago. So we want to bring that back. You know, because right now what's going on is the confusion with the all-in-one model, which is mixing recyclables with the spaghetti and the diapers.
Right. So what's the difference between single stream and mm-hmm. all-in-one, if there okay. is a difference?
There is a big difference. So single stream recycling is keeping your recyclables together and separate from your household trash. And that method gets a great recycling rates, 90, 95, 96%.
I can put all my beer bottles and plastic, soda cans yeah. and plastics and separate paper. From my leftover yep. spaghetti and moldy apples.
That's right. And that's going to get great rates. Some communities actually take the glass out because, as you can imagine, the glass shards, and that can be a little messy. But a clean, what's called a clean materials reutilization facility, in the biz it's called a clean MRF, will actually be able to to handle that. So that's really important. And that's what County Waste, if you've seen the County Waste Republic, they have clean MRFs. The all-in-one system is mixing everything. And the rates that you get from that is more like 20%. And some, I just read a report that says that's a pretty lofty, even that rate is looks at.
How much is that? What did you
20%.
Say? 20% versus 80 to 90%?
Versus 90%, right. So we really, as a community, we need to decide what we want. And the last meeting that I attended, which was a public session, city, county, UVA, was held in 2008. Our community said we want to divert and recycle 90%. Now, how are we going to pay for that is the question. So that's one of the things that this committee is going to tackle. But it's so important. I mean, people are frustrated. I have people that raise their hand and say, oh, you mean this all-in-one is not the magic bullet? Because they don't, the convenience is so convenient. And
well, especially in the county, that is
that's right
your main option.
That's right.
Unless you do it yourself and then you take it somewhere to drop it off yourself.
That's right.
If you're going to put it in that big green canister, which yep. is, again, yep. I don't know what the percentage is, but the majority
right.
of pickup if you drive through the county yep. roads. And so what we're saying is that, well, that's, and I guess it seems to me like that's the issue with so many things. It's the easiest
right,
way,
right.
but it doesn't mean it's the best way.
Exactly. And I look at it as a service, like as a, you know, in terms of being a taxpayer, this is something that I think as a community, we have ultimate responsibility of the trash and the things we consume. And just because they go outside and they go to this place called, well, we throw it away, there's really no such thing as away.
I love the hand gestures. It's radio, but people should have seen that.
So this is a really important topic right now, because you're right. The services are limited in the county. And so, maybe we tried this all in one, but we're ready to evolve it into something even better, which would be curbside separated.
But what does Betty think how that works? Because currently you put all your trash, if you're using the, all-in-one,
right.
And again, I keep getting the single stream versus the all-in-one confused. If you're putting it all in one, you have the big green trash can that you roll out to the end of your driveway or end of your road, and one truck comes out and picks it up, and you're done with it.
Right.
But if you're doing it in the other way, the single stream, where your recyclables are in a container separate from your trash, then you would need at least two trucks doing their thing, and you can't put the glass with the plastics and the metals, right? Because to keep the truck, the recyclable truck, on its same efficient road, they'd have to crush it like they do the trash. And you can't crush in a big box with all the metals and the plastics.
Well, they can. And like I said, the Clean MRF facilities can handle that, and they can still get those great rates. It would require, you're right, it would require two trucks. And what some communities have done is they go on an every other cycle, where they have trash pickup and then a recycle pickup, or on different days. I would love to see, and this is like, here we go, thinking big, but the three bin model of the green, all the organics, because we're actually throwing away 40% of what we throw away is organics, food scraps, lawn,
dog poop, could fit into your compost.
That's right.
That the black bear or other people could come pick up.
That's right. And the thing is, Rick, when we think about this, and someone told me this to me recently, and it really put a light bulb even in this Betty head of mine. And that is, think about all of the resources. When we sit down to dinner, for instance, and we have our, whether if you're an omnivore, you've got your chicken and your grains and your fruit and vegetables. And think of all the resources that went into getting that to your plate. And the fact that we just go over to the sink and dump that in the trash is, when you think about it, it's really unconscionable. Like, we could take that, turn it into dirt. It's not that hard. So, I know it's a lofty goal and kind of a lofty vision to think of the three bin, but San Francisco's done it. They figured it out. There are other communities. There's zero waste communities.
Well, if you go down to, and from our area, I would think that enough people have been down to the Outer Banks to see this, that if you stay in a place down there, that's what they have.
Yep.
You have a recyclable trash can that you roll out on Tuesdays, and then you have your trash that you roll out on Wednesdays or something,
right.
To that nature.
Yeah.
So
we can do it.
And those of us in the Charlottesville Albemarle area, whether we're inside saying that we are smart and good enough, or whether you're on the outside saying those, pompous people in the Charlottesville Albemarle area should be capable of doing this.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Again, we have Betty. Terry Kent from the Better World Betty website with us today as we talk about green living, 11:33 here in the Wake Up Call. So you go to your website, betterworldbetty.org, and you look around, and I found something that was really odd. It made me laugh, and then like every 15 minutes I had to roll my eyes and laugh at it again.
Uh-oh.
But people were looking for, people were sending you questions on, where do I recycle this? Mm-hmm. I can't find someone who will recycle this.
Okay.
And it was cycling apparel. Somebody either outgrown or undergrown their bicycling gear, clothing.
Right.
And wanting to, I'm like, that is some of the oddest stuff I have ever heard.
You know what? We can really geek out on recycling. Like, if you're an avid recycler, that is a normal question. I love it. But yeah, so, and what was the answer? Did you see it on there?
Because I remember actually, or Betty had a couple different businesses who had started doing that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And I didn't write the answer down because I don't cycle much anymore. But I was like, why do you, you know, can't you just take that to Goodwill? Or the folks at Goodwill aren't going to use the cycle. You don't want to see me buying it and putting that on. But I just found that to be, and if you go though, I did find it really a great purpose on the Better World Betty website, which is there's a whole list. If you go over to the right-hand side on one of the pages where you can use a drop-down box for dozens and dozens and maybe even 100 different items.
Yep.
You know, I have an old fax machine that for some reason when work was giving it up, I thought, oh, I'll take a fax machine to my house that has never been used and has more dust on it than anything else in the house.
What
and you can go to drop-down box, find fax machines, and there's a list of who will take those back, who will recycle those for you.
I love that feature, and I really encourage people to use that. And we all have stuff in our garage, in our attics. You know, fall is a great time to shed things, you know, before the holiday season approaches. And I really, that's one thing that I was very, very adamant about when I had the vision to create this nonprofit, is that people need a local resource to repurpose and recycle the things that they don't use anymore. I mean, I love this statistic. I think this is from New American Dream. You know how many minutes the average drill, electric drill is used in an American's home?
I don't know, but it's probably why I haven't bought one. Is it's more expensive than the 10 minutes I'll use it.
9 minutes.
Yay.
Nine minutes.
That was really close.
So, you know, and there's all kinds of sharing going on now with like book sharing groups and tool sharing. And I love that feature of the website. Backpacks and lawnmowers. We had someone ask us about a dehumidifier the other day and toasters. It's on the website. Check it out. Find out where to repurpose it locally.
I did really find that to be the website itself is very interesting, but in terms of information, and you said this earlier in the conversation, which was everyone or most people have enough energy to want to do it, but it's such a complex topic. It's where do you get the information from? And I found that particular feature of using the drop-down box for the item that, you know, I'm looking at this fax machine that's, you know, 2 feet away from my feet and going, where, you know, what do I do with that?
Right.
Besides, put it in my trash and hopefully that the all-in-one recycling will somehow lead it to the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah. 11:37 on the wake up call with Terry Kent, also known as Betty from Better World Betty.
Today's programming on WNRN is supported by
High Peak Sportswear, the official embroiderer for WNRN apparel. High Peak Sportswear also provides custom screen printing and promotional products for the Lynchburg and Charlottesville areas. High Peak Sportswear can consult and design your projects from fundraiser t-shirts to complete branding packages. You can look them up at hipeak.com.
Lexington Rockbridge Area Tourism, celebrating fall festivals, including the Apple Butter Festival at Wade's Mill, and the Apple Day Festival at Stonewall Jackson House on October 18th, and the Blue Ridge Brouhaha Craft Beer Festival at Virginia Horse Center, October 25th. Information at lexingtonvirginia.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Lehman from the Charlottesville Municipal Band. We will present our 92nd season fall concert on Sunday, October 19th at 3:30 p.m., at the V. Earl Dickinson Main Stage Theater at Piedmont Virginia Community College. The program, under my direction, will feature selections from the classics to jazz and includes trombone soloist Tom McKenzie from Mr. Jefferson's Bones, soprano Jessica Wiseman, and conductor emeritus Jim Simmons as the reader in Casey at the Bat by Randall Bass. The program is free and open to the public. The doors will open at 3 p.m. and there's ample free parking. The program is sponsored by Ducard Winery. For more information, you can visit us online, seavilleband.org, or on Facebook or Twitter. I'm Steve Lehman, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much for being with us today, talking with Betty from the Better World Betty website. We have a call from Herb. Hey, Herb.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. What you got for us?
Well, I was talking about time disposal service out of Zion's Crossroads. And they recycle about 90% of that material.
So that's the construction and demolition amount that they recycle, the 96%. The household trash gets about 20 to 25% recycle rate, which a lot of people don't fully understand.
Are they one of the all-in-one recycling?
Yes. All-in-one.
Yes. So it's a little confusing on their website. We've actually put together a task force and have been really advocating for a little more transparency and clarity when it comes to reaching out to the public, because a lot of people are misinformed and think that, you know, it's getting 96%, and that's a different piece of the facility out there. They do a great service. I'm not trying to disparage their service. The construction and demolition is amazing. But this, if you want to get those higher rates, you've got to go back to the source separation.
I also got a question about the state of Virginia.
Yes.
We need to have a bottle bill that has deposits on all the glass and aluminum.
I think that's an absolutely fantastic idea. I know New York, Michigan, there's a handful of states.
Is that what you're talking about, you know, where you get the 5 cents, 10 cents that's printed on the bottle? You need to return the bottle or the can to get this?
Yes, and they have wine bottles also.
Okay. All right.
Yep, I would love to see that. I mean, the best thing I can say is writing our legislators and really making that desire known at the state level, at the local level with our congressmen and congresswomen, women, because it's somewhat difficult. I don't fully understand why it's so difficult to pass those kinds of bills. I know that Massachusetts is looking to renew their bottle take-back program, and they're getting a lot of pushback from the industry and from grocery stores, you know, oh, how are we going to manage this and such. But you're absolutely right. I think it's an excellent tool. It incentivizes people to recycle. It gives a little, you know, economic advantage for that. You know, they do it in Europe. They do it with bags. You know, you actually, if you're there and you're using bags, you get charged, you know, if you're going to use their plastic bags. So
another thing I want to bring up is the, you know, all the trash along the highways. You know, that's, if you had a bottle bill on it, people would get out there and pick them up.
Reduce pollution.
Yeah, yes.
All right, thanks, Herb.
Good point.
God bless. Have a good one.
You too.
And yeah, that used to be, I mean, when you actually got paid for recycling, for bringing in the metal and the bottles, that happened a lot more frequently with the cleanup.
That's right.
If you have a question or a comment like Herb, 434-979-0919. That's 434-979-0919. A question or a comment for Betty. Betty's with us today from the BetterWorldBetty.org website and blog, talking about green living. So, you know, that takes me to this real quick. So we're talking about, you know, living green. And you, Herb talks about it in terms of the deposit on the bottles and the cans. You talked about how recycling batteries, there's a small fee to do so. You talked about how pet food, a little more expensive for the dehydrated pet food. How do you convince someone that the short-term expense is worth the long-term savings?
Well, you know, I think we have to keep our eye on the long-term. You know, that was the whole purpose behind these products, seventh generation, that we need to think beyond just our generation. and think long term. Also think about the real cost of things. A lot of times in America, we can buy cheap, disposable, one-use items for cheap, and we can really get caught into that mentality. But I think what I try to teach my kids and what I try to live by is, let's buy things that are durable and that are going to last us long term. And I know it's not always easy for folks to come up with that at the beginning. That's why, for instance, there's the Power Saver Loan. Energy efficient. We talked earlier in the show about energy efficiency. So yes, it might cost to put more insulation in your home, but you're going to reduce your monthly costs by making that smart investment at the front end. Same thing when it comes to businesses. So we've got to think in terms of investment and long-term use, and that really that's helping us preserve the long-term viability of our communities and our earth.
Again, we are talking with Terry Kent. She's the founder and executive director of the Better World Betty website. And thanks to Herb for his phone call. And just let me remind you that there are a lot of different ways to stay connected with WNRN. We have a free iPhone and an Android app created by Willow Tree Apps, available at iTunes or at Google Play. We also recommend TuneIn for your smartphone. You can listen to WNRN and the Wake Up Call anywhere you are. We stream 24/7 at WNRN.org. So remember, no matter where you go, you can take WNRN with you. So, Terry/Betty, talking about different ways to live green, let's talk about some, I don't know that they're necessarily all simple, but let's compact them into different rooms of the house. So how do you live green in your kitchen?
Oh, in your kitchen. So one of your biggest energy losers in your kitchen is your refrigerator. So what you want to do with your refrigerator is make sure the seal is tight, make sure that you can put the temperature, even if you change your temperature up by a couple degrees, it's going to help you.
Like you mean the 1 through 10?
That's right. So keep that as
high as
you can.
Which one is colder? Is 1 the coldest or is 1 the warmest?
I think 1's the coldest, but it should say.
Yes, it should. It would be helpful to silly people like me.
And then when you're cooking, a very simple thing you can do is put the lids on your pot. That's going to make it boil faster, going to cook less. And then in the kitchen, of course, you can compost. That's a big thing that you can generate a lot of waste in your kitchen. A great idea that I heard on the radio recently, this World Wildlife Fund advocate talked about how much food we waste. And she said, you know, you can label your things in your refrigerator of eat now. So like put all the stuff that's about to go bad on that shelf so that you, every time you go to the fridge, you're like, okay, I got to eat that the next couple days. So reducing waste that way.
All right. So how about in the bathroom? How do you live green in the bathroom?
Well, what comes to mind first of all is the fact that you don't need to buy all of those toxic chemicals to clean this and bleach that. And, you know, in your bathroom, there's plenty of, like I use the generic brand of more natural cleaners that they say like an all-purpose cleaner. You can use vinegar and lemon juice on your mirror. You can, and then there's a product called Bon Ami that's really old school that has just maybe 3 ingredients. So very easy to not be lured into buying all of those things in the center aisles of the grocery store. Stay away from the center aisles, they say. And then using recycled content toilet paper is an easy one.
All right, so you got to describe that, because the original image in my head for recycling toilet paper was not what I was hoping for.
Well, we're not talking about leaves off of trees, okay?
Okay.
No, but recycled content paper instead of virgin forest, in other words.
So is there a specific brand that come or two that come to mind?
Well, they have, 7th generation. But there's also one that we had at our office that's yellow and green. It's I can't remember the brand name
we'll
of it.
We'll put the podcast
Oh, Marcel.
Out there.
Okay, it's Marcel. I think it's Marcel, M-A-R-C-E-L.
Okay.
But look for that label because if it's, you know, the other thing is this color white that we're so obsessed with, that requires bleach. And so the more we can transition to the brown products, instead of the white paper bags, the brown paper bags, the better. You know, they did this consumer, I can't remember, I saw somewhere where they did a consumer report where people just didn't want to buy things that weren't white when it came to napkins and toilet paper. We need to get over that. The brown paper works just as well, I promise.
11:50 here on the Wake Up Call with Terry Kent, the founder of the Better World Betty website, www.betterworldbetty.org. So we were talking about bathroom. There's something that you mentioned something earlier before we came on about toothbrushes.
That's right. So think of all of the toothbrushes we go through in our lifespan. That's a lot of toothbrushes. So we did an article in our Ask Betty, what can I do with my old toothbrushes? Well, there's a program at TerraCycle, TerraCycle, .org, I believe it might be .com, where they have an oral care toothbrush take back program. And they'll recycle toothbrushes, they'll recycle toothpaste tubes, and all kinds of things. And they'll turn them into park benches and the like. One of our local dental hygienists that works at Seville Dental Health Partners saw this article and started doing that for her clients in their dental office. So they were part of the Better Business Challenge, which we might also want to talk about. And preserve, you can actually buy a smarter toothbrush too. They now have toothbrushes that where you just change the top, the bristle part. You can buy cork toothbrushes, and you can also buy Preserve brand toothbrushes that are made from recycled yogurt containers. And that what's cool about Preserve is they actually give you the container to send it back. So when it comes in the product, it's so smart. The packaging itself is the mail envelope that you send the toothbrush back into. How cool is that?
That's pretty cool. and you mentioned two things in there, so let's do the first one really quick. Volunteers?
That's right. We are an all-volunteer organization. We're excited that in 2013, I do get a part-time executive director position, but we are really community-run volunteer organization. So we're always encouraging people, if they're interested and passionate about the environment and passionate about recycling, please connect with us, Betty at betterworldbetty.org. We have a volunteer board. We're always looking for dynamic, interested, strategic leaders to join that board. So, I just wanted to put that out there. We're a nonprofit organization, really heavily relying on individual donations, grant funds, the like. So just wanted to fit that in there.
You also mentioned the challenge.
That's right.
Tell us more what is the challenge?
So the Better Business Challenge is a friendly competition among area businesses. This is a program that we're going to run every other year. We've ran two challenges, round one and round two, where we encourage businesses to look at their operations, their energy, their water, their waste, their transportation, their purchasing. We even have a leadership category. And really take action, whether it's with a one person in their organization or if they have a green team. Want them to go in there and see if we can help them not only save money, but be better corporate citizens. We've engaged almost 200 businesses at the local level, small businesses from one person owned businesses all the way up through, I think our biggest business was State Farm that participated last year. We had Plow and Hearth and Whole Foods.
What do they do? I mean, okay, so you you turn the lights off when you leave the room.
We have a scorecard. So we actually really...
Is that this...
That's not the menu. No. If you go to SevilleBetterBiz.org, You can find our scorecards for businesses. So there's an energy scorecard. Let's collect your bills. Have you had an energy audit done? Here are some actions that you can take when it comes to energy to save energy in your business. So we really break it down to very tangible actions that the business take. And last round, our collective businesses saved 1.5 million kilowatts of energy, mostly due to lighting switchouts, because lighting is a big, it's a good return on investments for business to switch out their lightings to more efficient models.
You know, when I walk through the Harris Teeter grocery shop and you get to the frozen section, their lights go off and sort of you set them back on through motion.
That's great. It's so smart. I mean, in Europe, the first thing I remember about the hotels was that you would walk through and they were dark, and then they would light as you walk. And then, so it's on an as needed basis. What's smarter than that? You know, it's good business. It's efficient. And it saves money.
Again, Terry Kent, she's Betty at betterworldbetty.org. Check it out. So let's see, what are some other questions that I found here? So you get a new mattress, because I saw this with appliances somewhere on the webpage. You get a new mattress, and most places will take your old mattress out, bring the new mattress in, take the old mattress out. Is that the right way to do that, or are they just tossing it on the landfill when they get a chance?
You know, mattresses are very tricky because they're laws that are connected. You know, there's requirements in terms of flame retardant, that kind of thing. You know, mattresses, we could talk for an hour just on mattresses. But I urge people, when you're going to switch out your mattress, look into buying a safe and healthy product. And you can check out the blog. We've done articles on mattresses. And in terms of recycling, it is tricky. They're difficult to recycle because of all the things that they, that they contain. I'm getting a little frog in my throat here. So, mattresses are tricky. There's a business outside of Farmville that is thriving. They collect mattresses. And when you think about, for instance, the tourist industry, when they have, or the dormitories at universities, when they have to switch out those mattresses, what happens? Well, there were a couple of students, college students, that decided to make a business out of recycling mattresses. So cool stuff.
All right. So, one of the interesting things I found on your page was how to say, or maybe it was on the home menu, I don't remember, but a good way to live green in a simple way was to opt out of any receipts.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I want a receipt to take home with me?
Well, for one thing, and few people know this, that those receipts are, some of them are coated with BPA, bisphenol A, which is a plastic.
Are those the really slick ones?
You never know. I always ask. I don't always ask, but I tend to ask about do they know if they're... Because, you know, the BPA-free bottles, those are now banned in Europe, banned in Canada. All of our bottles now say, you know, most of them say BPA-free. Well, little did I know that they were on receipts. And so I guess it's a different way of creating a receipt.
Slick ones have some sort of... Yeah. It's not actually the old purple ink. It's got some sort of heat sensor that puts the printing on it.
Right. So you can avoid it that way. And then also just the fact that they're trees. Unless that business is using a recycled product, which I always look for. That's the other thing as a eco-conscious consumer. I'm always looking for companies and products that are actually using, instead of raw materials, our resources that are dwindling. You know, it will take, statistically, it would take a earth and a half to continue at the consumption rate that Americans have right now. All right. As the last time I looked, we don't have a half Earth left, or excess that we can spend. So any little thing like that, we can do.
All right, just a minute left with Betty from BetterWorldBetty.org. And let me let you know that next week we'll be talking about sexual assault. We have one member of Governor McAuliffe's newly appointed task force, and we'll have a few others here to talk about that topic. All right, so in less than a minute, give me some myths about green living.
Oh, that it's difficult and that it's expensive and that it doesn't matter what I do, because it absolutely matters what every person does. I can't tell you how over and over again it's that one person in an organization that connects with us, that is passionate about it. Maybe they recycle for that business every week. That's why we created this organization.
Is there something I'm doing that is not actually living green? Something that you read, oh, do this, that's helpful, and that is not?
Well, there's a lot of greenwashing going on. I mean, speaking
greenwashing,
of greenwashing, which is brainwashing, and oh, this is such a green, you really do have to be a smart consumer and investigate. Because there's been plenty of times where that a product has been touted as green, and you look into it, and it's a plastic product.
Yeah, they can say whatever they want. They don't have to prove it.
That's right.
We'll put the podcast up. You can always go to betterworldbetty.org to ask questions. As you said, within 72 hours, you will get a reply. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Les Temps-Perdue up next. Everybody, enjoy your day.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Brandon Wong and Max Cecilia Struther. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.